Fully worshipping the great sage of the demigods, according to the Vedic injunctions, Lord Krishna, who is himself the original sage, Narayana, the friend of Nara, conversed with Narad, and the Lord's measured speech was as sweet as nectar. Finally, he asked Narad, "What may we do for you, our Lord and Master?" Please repeat. After fully worshipping the great sage of the demigods, according to Vedic injunctions, Lord Krishna, who is himself the original sage, Narayana, the friend of Nara, conversed with Narad, and the Lord's measured speech was as sweet as nectar. Finally, the Lord asked Narad, "What may we do for you, our Lord and Master?" Therefore, in this verse, the word Narayano Narashaka indicate that Krishna is himself the Supreme Lord Narayana, who appeared as the friend of the sage Nara. In other words, Lord Krishna is Rishi Puranaha, the original and supreme spiritual master. Nevertheless, following the Vedic injunctions, Vidhi no Ditina, that a Kshatriya should worship the Brahmanas, Lord Krishna happily worshipped his pure devotee, Narada Muni. Translation 17. Sri Narad said, "O mighty Lord, it is no surprise that you, the ruler of the worlds, show friendship for all people and yet subdue the envious. As we well know, you descend by your sweet will in order to bestow the highest good on this universe by maintaining and protecting it. Thus your glories are widely sung." Purport. As pointed out by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, all living beings are in fact servants of the Lord. The Acharya quotes the following verse from the Padma Purana to elucidate. Akarino chet Vishnu Shrir Ukarina Khatyate Makarashtu Tayodasha Panchabhimsa Pakirita. In the mantra Om, the letter A signifies Lord Vishnu, the letter U signifies the goddess Sri, and the letter M refers to their servant, who is the 25th element. The 25th element is the Jiva, the living being. Every living being is a servant of the Lord, and the Lord is the true friend of every living being. Thus, even when the Lord chastises envious persons like Jarasandha, such punishment amounts to real friendship, since both the Lord's chastisement and his blessings are for the benefit of the living entity. Text 18, translation. Now I have seen your feet, which grant liberation to your devotees, which even Lord Brahma and other great personalities of unfathomable intelligence can only meditate upon within their hearts, and which those who have fallen into the well of material existence resort to for deliverance. Please favor me so that I may constantly think of you as I travel about. Please grant me the power to remember you. Purport. Lord Krishna had asked Narad Muni, "What can we do for you?" And here Narad answers, Narad Muni is a pure devotee of the Lord, and thus his request is sublime. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Chananjanan Shalakaya சக்ஷூரமலிதாஞ்சீனதாஸ்மாய ஸ்ரீகிருவி நமஹ. ஜய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கரதா ஸ்ரீபாஷரி கோர் பக்த பிருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரி ஹரி, ஹரி ராம் ஹரி ராம் ராம ராம் ஹரி ஹரி. So here, Narad Muni is visiting the different palaces of Krishna, and showing proper etiquette, proper behavior. He is washing the lotus feet of Narad Muni. And Narad Muni, who went there to actually experience how the Lord is living in his different palaces, accepted that worship because it was a proper for a king to worship the sage's feet, especially a personality like Narad. So Narad did the same thing, but he was experiencing and allowing his feet to be washed by the Lord himself. And when all these nice formalities were done, then the Lord asked, how can I serve you? So this is etiquette. Somebody comes, you should greet them. Very nicely. When Akrura visited Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, then they served him very nicely. They washed his lotus feet. Then they offered many articles of worship. Agga, they offered the water for washing his feet and agya water for welcoming and archmanam, madhupaka, sweet drink and archmanium, like that. And then they inquired, first they asked Narad if he would like to take some, they offered him something to eat also, some drink, that's expected. And then they asked him to take rest, and he took a little rest. And then they approached him after some time, and they were actually massaging his feet gently. And then at that time they asked him, Uncle Prora, you've appeared here. You, please let us know your mission. What do you want to know? So it's not, like Akrura came and they opened the door and said, what do you want? No, they received him, worshipped him, gave him rest, everything, massaged his feet. And then they very slowly approached him and asked him, how can we serve you? What is your mission? So it's such a nice etiquette here. That even Krishna follows it fully. So this the Vedic culture is so nice. The further away from India you get, it says, the less the Vedic culture is followed. But anyway, we have a nice culture. We have two cultures. We have East and Western culture, but the point is, as long as we use these cultures to remember Krishna's lotus feet when we're leaving our body, that's the perfection of any culture. So if we can dovetail anything in Krishna's service, if it helps us to remember the lotus feet of Krishna. Just like when Maharaj Yudhisthira was present, they knew Europe was there, but nobody bothered to go because it's all Malacha, Yavana. They were in the Bharat Varsha. They had no need to go to the so-called today's advanced countries because they didn't follow the Vedic culture there. So this is nice how they're greeting very nicely, showing the proper culture. And then asking very sweetly how they can serve him. And yeah, he said, "Now I've seen your lotus feet, which grant liberation to your devotees, which even Lord Brahma, another great personality of unfathomable intelligence, can only meditate upon within their mind, within their hearts." And which those who have fallen into the well of material existence resort to you for deliverance. So please favor me that I may constantly think of you as I travel about. Please grant me the power to remember you. So here, Narad Muni, the Lord Krishna is asking, what can we do for you? And Narad Muni is asking for something. He's asking for service. Shravanam, please grant me the power to always remember you. So this is the special mercy of the Lord. He is giving his savor, he's offering his savor. And Narad Muni is asking for savor. And by savor we become closer to the Lord, and the result of serving the Lord favorably is more savor. This is what we want. Prabhupada actually said we should only have one desire, that Krishna, how can I serve you? And another time he said, oh Krishna, I just want to serve you. Another other time he said, I just want to love you, Krishna. These desires we can have. So, service is the main thing that when Krishna is sleeping, or the Vishnu is sleeping at the beginning of creation, then the personified Vedas all stand around, they're glorifying his activities. Just like a king, when the king is sleeping, in the morning he wakes up, he's professional reciters come, and they're glorifying the king, how great the king is, how many kingdoms he's conquered, how many elephants he's got, how much land he's got, and things like that. He wakes up feeling very good behind, because he's a Kshatriya, so he likes it. So similarly, when Krishna wakes up, the personified Vedas stand around him there, all chanting his glories. And then they say, the greatest of all the glories of the glories of my Lord is that your mercy upon the living entity. This is the greatest of all your glories, when you show them mercy. So you please kindly wake up from your sleep and recreate the universe again. So all the sleeping living entities can come out and receive your mercy. They have an opportunity to receive your mercy. So the personified Vedas are pointing out, this is the greatest of all the Lord's mercy. He keeps he engages all of his living entities in his savor. Because this is what the living entities need. We need service to Krishna more than anything else. We understand we're the eternal servants of Krishna. And that is our very function, the function of the soul. It's the essence of our being is seva, because we are the reason of our existence is to expand the pleasure of Krishna. So we are that is our eternal seva of Krishna. That is our eternal being. So this is what we need more than anything else in the world, and this is what is lacking in the world. Prabhupada, there's plenty of facilities in this world, but only Krishna consciousness is absent. So that Krishna consciousness means seva, service to Krishna. So that we see is absent in this world. service to Krishna, but even knowing who Krishna is, that Krishna's to serve Krishna, first we've got to know Krishna. And the whole world doesn't really know Krishna at the present moment. And of course, it's expanding fast due to Prabhupada's movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He's making people Krishna conscious, but otherwise you don't find this consciousness anywhere. Because nobody wants to be a servant. If you tell everyone they're a servant, you'll lose your popularity. So there's so many different groups and things like that. But if you check them out, what is their ultimate goal? They never come to the point of service. It always comes to the point of being an enjoyer. You'll enjoy it. This is the ultimate goal of the different processes and different systems and different concoctions they make. You follow to the end, it's all about me, my enjoyment. It's not about Krishna's enjoyment, serving Krishna for Krishna's enjoyment. So this was something very unique that Prabhupada came and gave us. He said, I bought you service. You're in this material world all rotting because you've forgotten your eternal service, Krishna. I bought you service. And you're Bhagavad Seva, Nam Seva, Bhakta Seva, Diti Seva. So many times the service Prabhupada has given us. Because this is our eternal identity. So, though this is the essence of actually Sridhar Mayapur, TOVP, it's all about this. The temple, temple of the Vedic Planetarium, it's all about service. And the prediction of Mahaprabhu, which Nityananda Prabhu revealed to Jiva Goswami, Iya eka advut mandir hoibi. Prakash, Gauranga Nitya Seva Hoiti Prakash. Gauranga Nitya Seva. From this temple, something will spread all over the world. What is that? Gauranga Nitya Seva. Eternal service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nitya Seva. So this is why we glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Mahabhranaya. Krishna Prema Padayati. Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namani. Gaur Krishna Mahi. He's giving freely, prema pradayati. So it's coming. Gauranga Nitya Seva means he's giving prema freely. This is the mission of his incarnation. How? Through seva. This is how you express your love for Krishna. Through seva. Love means true. I love you, you love me. So that reciprocation, it means seva. So service is so important. It's being stressed all the time here. And the Narada Muni is asking, he wants to serve Krishna. He wants to, by remembering Krishna, he wants to do the shravanam, seva. He wants this aspect of devotional service, seva. So service, it becomes the medium, how we can express Krishna bhakti. Not the service itself. What does Mahaprabhu need? What does Krishna need? He's full in himself. But if we know that Krishna, he loves love the best. So that is what we want. And that's how we can express our love for Krishna, our love for Guru, by seva, when we're rendering service, the attitude behind the service, that we can. That is my attitude and is my bhakti, your attitude is your bhakti. The seva may be doing the same seva, but how you offer seva, that is up to each individual. That is his own personal bhakti. But bhakti is actual, service is the actual medium to express our bhakti. Without that service, how we could express it? So that's why the service is glorified so much. And yes, love reigns supreme, bhakti is supreme, and when we develop our affection for Krishna, then Nothing else really matters anymore. When everything we do is done with affection for Krishna, that is always right. It always works out right. So this is the mercy of Krishna. He's giving his service here. And this is what the devotees are always asking. They're asking for service to Krishna. This is the meaning of the Maha Mantra, exact meaning of it. Mother Hara, please engage us in this. In the service of the Supreme Father Krishna. O energy of the Lord, please engage us in the Supreme Lord. So this is the very profound explanation of the Maha Mantra that Prabhupada very simply gave that. So Mother Hara, please engage us in the service of the Supreme Father. Because anybody can apply this, no matter what type or form of the Lord anybody worships, they can apply this principle. O energy of the Lord, please engage me in the service of the Lord. So it's like a universal explanation of the Maha Mantra that Prabhupada gave very simply. Because everybody can do this or is doing. So it's such a perfect explanation of the meaning of Hare Krishna. So, today is the Purushottam month also. So, in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is called the Purushottam Yoga. Many people are doing austerity for this month. It's a very good month. And so we can also read Bhagavad Gita every chapter 15 during this period also. And it's such a nice chapter because it's showing the supremacy of Krishna and how we're completely dependent on Krishna. He explains how we're bound up in this world, which is like a banyan tree. We can't figure out where it begins, where it ends. It's impossible. In Calcutta there is one botanical garden and they have a banyan tree there and it spreads over about, I think, 1 acre of land or something. It's one tree, but it's been spread and the branches are going down. So Krishna says you cannot really understand this tree, where it begins, where it ends. But you can see that big tree in Calcutta. You can get a reward also. You get a prize. Big money prize. If you can find the original stem of that tree, you'll get money. And you look and you think, yeah, that's it. Look, it's bigger than the others and it must be there. Yeah, that must be it. And then you start tracing and then it goes, no, that must be it. It's really, really confusing. You can't find out how it begins and where it ends. So Krishna says it's like that. So, we have to cut it down with detachment, knowledge and detachment. Cut it down and find that place from where we go. Once we go there, we never return again, and there surrender to that personality, Krishna. And so then, by the grace of Krishna, he's given us knowledge so we can cut this tree of material attachment. And then Krishna says, I am the light of the sun, from me, the fire, the electricity, the moon, I am these lights. So without light, we cannot function. We need light. Everyone was sleeping when it was dark. You can't do anything. But as soon as the sun comes up, then we can do so many things. So how much we dependent on we are, just on the light to exist, otherwise we wouldn't function. Prabhupada says we need fire for the factories. As soon as you wake up, you want to cook something, you need fire. So that illumination, that light is Krishna. So we're dependent on Krishna simply for light. Then he says that, I become the moon and and by this process I supply the juices of all vegetables. By the moonshine, everything becomes juicy and succulent. If you don't give the plants, if you don't put Tulsi outside in the moonlight, sometime you leave her in, then she will start to wither. But if you put her outside in the moonshine, so all that succulent juices that we need when sabjis and for our maintenance, it's all coming from the moon, moonshine. And Krishna says, I become the moon. So therefore, even to eat, we have to depend on Krishna. Our foodstuffs, our succulent foodstuff, is dependent on Krishna. And then Krishna says, I'm also the fire of digestion. So not only we're dependent on Krishna to eat, to get the food, we're dependent on Krishna to digest it. Because without digestion, then you have a problem, stomach problem, you get sick, you can't eat. It means you're going to die. So you're dependent on Krishna for the food we eat, for the digestive process also. Another reason we're dependent on Krishna. And I am the ingoing and outgoing breath, we're dependent on the breath because that also helps with the digestion. So we're dependent in every moment on these different aspects of Krishna. He said, I become the moon and supply all juices. And of course we went in, when we were in Houston, we went to NASA for some reason or another. NASA to see, and we saw the rocks. And the moon walking, there's all dusty and big rocks and things like that. And Prabhupada says, I don't, in another place, he said, how is it that Krishna says that I become the moon and I supply all the juices of life to all plants and everything like that all over the world, all over the universe. How is it that the moon, which is a source of all nourishment, that itself is all dusty and rocks? It's supplying juice to every other planet, making everybody juicy and happy, but its own planet is dry, so that means Shoma, the king, moon king, not our Shoma, he's full. He's a foolish person, right? He can make all other planets juicy, but his own planet is dry. What kind of god is that? Moon god is that? But anyway, Krishna's pointing out how we're dependent, on all aspects, we're dependent on Krishna. And then Krishna says, from me knowledge and remembrance come. So we depend on Krishna for everything, even knowledge. I look and I see this car tile. I don't know it's a car tile. Because when I saw it, Krishna, just a split second before I said, Krishna reminded me it's a car tile. Otherwise, the living entities are in darkness in this world. Krishna gives you the direction for everything. Super soul, he is. You see the book, Krishna says book. Just before you registered, it was a book. Krishna told you it's a book. Everything you do, otherwise I wouldn't remember your name. The Janmashtami Prabhu. Why? Because Krishna just told me a split second before that's Janmashtami Prabhu. So we're dependent on Krishna every moment for doing things and remembering things. Otherwise, if we have no memory, we become deranged. We couldn't function properly. Remembrance and knowledge and forgetfulness. And Krishna, for knowledge means the Veda. And Krishna says, I am the compiler of the Veda. So I have unlimited knowledge. And I'm the speaker of the Vedanta. And I'm also the knower of the Vedanta. And because I know the purpose of the Vedas, Arjuna, therefore I'm going to speak to you in the next three verses the essence of the, which is called the Tinshoki Gita, or the three verses of the Gita that reveal the essence of Gita. Why? Because it's the essence of the Vedas, and because I'm the knower of the Vedas, and I'm the proper speaker to you, Arjuna, of the Vedas. I'm the proper speaker of the essence of the Vedas. So then Krishna describes the Shara Akshara. You have a conditioned soul, you have a liberated soul. What word Prabhupada used? Sara Akshara? That's right. Thank you for remembering. Fallible and infallible. There are two classes of beings, fallible and infallible. Living entities in this world, the conditioned souls are fallible. We cannot move from one side of the room to the other without the aid of this body. We're not the body, but still we have to need the body to take. If I want to go to that side of the room, I cannot go independently as spirit, but I have to take shelter. So therefore I'm fallible, I'm dependent, not independent. And there are infallible. Infallible means they're independent. They're all liberated souls. The spiritual world is full of these eternally liberated souls. They're infallible. So we have two classes of being. This spiritual and matter, more or less. And then Krishna says, and then I enter, I'm that supreme person, I enter into these worlds and I maintain them, you see, as Paramatma. So it's Krishna who enters and maintains the world and sits in the heart of the living entity and guides him and maintains him. And Krishna says that because I am transcendental, I'm above the fallible and the infallible. Therefore, I'm celebrated in this world as that Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's saying you've got the fallible, the infallible, and then you've got the Lord himself who enters in and maintains as a super soul, and then Krishna himself. He said, because I'm beyond the fallible and the infallible, I'm beyond the conditioned soul, I'm beyond the liberated soul, I'm beyond the Paramatma, I mean, also beyond all the other incarnations, Ram, the Shinga, and all these different, I'm that beyond all of these, therefore I'm celebrated as that Supreme Person, Purushottam. Krishna is very proud of that name, Purushottam, because I am beyond everyone else, and anyway, he can say that, Krishna can say that. So he really likes that name, Purushottam. He is that Supreme Personality of Godhead, above everyone, all the other incarnations and all the fallibles and the infallibles. So like this, Krishna says, one who knows this truth about me, he knows everything. All of his activities will be, he becomes wise and he will know me and come back to me. Purushottam mantra carries this essence. We can understand the position of Krishna, how we're completely dependent on Krishna for everything. Then we have to take complete shelter when we see how we're dependent on Krishna, even for our material existence. So, anyway, I find that very important point in Bhagavad Gita, because more or less that really convinced me of Krishna's, not of Krishna's position, but of the position of the what we were searching for, you know, looking for the oneness. And when I read that shloka, because I had a big Bhagavad Gita before I read Prabhupada, and I couldn't understand. I had a couple of Bhagavad Gita actually, but when I read this slogan about Shara Akshara and one beyond, you know, I couldn't figure it out at all because of the influence of Mahavad philosophy, 99% of the whole world. But how you got duality, you can understand there's a Shara Akshara, the fallible and the infallible, but then you've got another one become, then you've got three personalities you're talking with. Then Krishna says, and I'm transcendental beyond both those. So then you got different personalities. So according to my understanding, the influence of that time. It was really difficult, but when the translators in their Bhagavad Gita, when they get to that verse, they don't say anything. They can't translate it because it's so clear, so they just kind of skip it, you know. So, you know, it was kind of a puzzle to me. But so, like the first sloka I looked at when I met the devotees and they preached and showed me Prabhupada's Gita. And in the purport, the Sharakshara, Prabhupada says, oneness doesn't mean that there is no disunity. Sorry. Oneness doesn't mean that there is no individuality, but that there is no disunity. Well, what a perfect explanation of the one. We're all searching out for the one at that time. But Prabhupada gave a perfect explanation. It doesn't mean that there is no individuality, but there is no disunity. So I become really happy when I read that. So understanding, when we understand these aspects of Krishna and how we are completely dependent on him, then we can actually take shelter. Without shelter, it's difficult to maintain spiritual life or material life. We have to know who our shelter is. We have to have personalities. The guru can be Radhisham or Krishna Balaram or Gaunitai, but we should have someone that we know is our shelter. We take shelter of them. Alone in the material world and the spiritual world is nothing of meaning of alone. Krishna is always surrounded by his loving friends and devotees. So we should always understand, find out who is our shelter so we can take shelter whenever we need it. And we need practically all the time. So Krishna is showing how he is the supreme shelter of everything, and now we're actually dependent on him. And then he promises, when you know these things about me, you come back home, back to Godhead. Krishnam Maski Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shamaveda Bhaktabrinda Ki Jai. Jai Gopremanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any comment or question? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Such a simple and beautiful class. The verse itself in your beginning part was about the Vaishnava etiquette. And I thought how Śrīla Prabhupāda also once said that to make a brahmana, to make brahmanas out of mlechas, is like trying to wash coal. And I myself feel very much an example of that. That even though I've seen and been around devotees who have such a high standard of etiquette and make me feel so welcome when I go to their home, coming up in America, I don't know, it's like something is so thick in me that it's very difficult to break through and become Vaishnava-like. So do you have any advice or words of hope for such a person?
Yeah, not only you, that is the position of everyone, practically in this world. I can't do things by myself. I find that My main identity is that I identify myself as the enjoyer. And when I try to do things with that, it's difficult. Everything is difficult. Relationship is difficult. Getting rid of desires is difficult. But when you live for others, when you take complete shelter of guru or whoever it is, and have your shelter there, and you have love should be there for guru, especially. Yet it's very practical. The whole purpose of guru, the whole purpose of initiation, that he's going to take you back to Godhead. So we love guru as our savior. We may not obviously it's kind of got so many expansions of it, but and people say, well, I don't feel love for my guru. I thought, but you must do. Otherwise, why did you take initiation? You can love him as your savior. So everybody has that opportunity. He has become their savior. So you must love him as your savior. And then when you depend on, when that love is there, that instead of us trying to, as an individual trying to tackle everything in life by myself, and then we just depend on guru, depend on that person we love. So love conquers all. We have to feel that affection for us. And when we do something in that mood, then everything works out okay. Because it's not so much a living for ourselves, but we're living for others, especially to execute the order of the Lord. So when we have that, feel some affection for, at least we can do that much. We can have affection as our shelter. And then when we do things in the mood of service or of love to our shelter, then everything becomes easy. But if we try to do things alone, then the material world is, more or less a declaration of war, Prabhupada said, a declaration of war against Maya, because Maya is 24 hours a day presenting objects for our sense gratification. So by ourselves, it's very difficult. Devi Heshi Gunamai, Mama Maya Direct. It's impossible, actually. But if one surrenders unto me, so that one, when one actually has that shelter of me, he has affection, then like that makes everything easy. Otherwise, what's impossible single-handedly? No, so we're dead and dependent on. We're doing it. We're doing the same things. We're facing the same problems. But we see we're doing them with that actual affection for our shelter, with our shelter. We try to do things together like that. Then practice makes perfect. But if we're doing everything in the mood actually to please Guru, because, or Krishna, whoever our shelter is, because they want to relate to people, they want you to associate, they want you to, so if we do it in the mood of that service to Krishna, service to my Guru, that loving friendship with others, that's because of my dependence and shelter of Guru. So it's my love for Guru that will create the proper facility. Where there is affection, it will always be successful, because that's the realm of bhakti. And whenever there is even a little bit of bhakti, then bhakti is immediately interested. That's my realm. Where there's some relationship, that's my realm. So that is her function. So when we have that affection for someone, then bhakti comes in there. It's in relation to devotional service. And I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I can't remember which book it's from, but he's saying that the person's becoming a devotee, but he has so many household affairs to deal with, but his attraction for Krishna is growing more and more, and he wants to become less inclined. But he has to maintain his household and things like that. So bhakti arranges it in such a way that somehow or another the family members get satisfied. And they think, well, he's getting old man, he's becoming senile, we can't do much, so we'll leave him alone. We're not going to depend on him for this and depend on him for that. So that's actually the arrangement of bhakti, he said. Because it's interfering with his relationship with Krishna, his loving relationship, and that's where bhakti is from. So she says, then I personally take care. So I personally take care of the material facility for the family or whatever the any kind of hindrance or obstacle, but actually Bhakti Devi looks after that because it's interfering with her scene, that relationship you're having with Krishna or Guru. So she personally takes care of the other side, so the devotee can give all of his time to Krishna. That's a blessing and the beauty of Bhakti Devi. She wants to foster the relationship with Krishna and the devotees. She wants to enhance it and expand it. So she takes care of all the little problems that distract him from that. She personally does that. This is her loving nature. Anyway, that's one angle of vision. Hare Krishna.
I just wanted to thank Vegavati Prabhu for asking such a question and you giving such a nice answer, because certainly she asks this question for everybody else, because anytime Vegavati Prabhu, when we go to her house, her heart is full of bhakti and she so much welcomes everybody. And just even here when she comes to the temple, she's always welcoming everybody. So thank you for asking that question for all of us.
Thank you
for the nice answer.
I will. Is it? Yes. Okay. I understand.
Now, I've asked Prabhu, you were talking about seva. Now, in the worship of Didi, Shushi Radha, Shamsundara, Krishna Balaram, Gornitai, we have the opportunity to bathe them, to dress them, to massage them, that kind of personal service that you were talking about. And in our perfection, we get the same opportunity to do that in the spiritual world. But what about Lakshmi Narayan, worship of Lakshmi Narayan? Because in the spiritual world, as far as I understand, there's not that ability to have that kind of a personal relationship. Lakshmi massages his feet, nobody else. So in the puja of Lakshmi Narayan deities, is there some reflection of that? I mean, is it less the dressing, the bathing, the massaging in Lakshmi Narayan puja?
Is it less?
Is there less of that type of parts of the puja where you bathe, dress, massage, Lakshmi Narayan deity?
Yeah, it says that Lakshmi likes to do that personal service to Krishna. It does seem like it's less. She wants to take the service. Even the... Lakshman, he was criticizing Sita also. You're doing all the seva. I had so much seva before you got married. Now I don't get any seva. She said, "Where's my husband? That's my seva. I have to do it." So Lakshman was very angry. I had to go and get Ram to sort it all out. Yeah, everybody, it seems that like Krishna, he has different servants. They massage with oil and things like that. But these may not be, you know, his intimate gopis. In fact, like Radharani, she has servants. They come and massage her body, but they're children, or young girls from the who wash clothes and things like that. Kind of a lower class in gradation of the Varna ashram. Dobi, washerman is like it's a low class feature. Massage is also kind of a, because you're dealing with oil and you're massaging. It's also kind of more of a low class profession, but they have the, like the sons and the daughters, the sons will massage Krishna, they're from the, like the barber's shield, it's a low class profession. So that's the one, barbers, right? Barbers, they do massage also. So even those sons of the barbers, they get the opportunity to go and massage Krishna with oil and things like that, because that's their profession. Yeah, it's also there's more variety of service in Radha and Krishna, because in Lakshmi Narayan Seva there's only Shanta and Dasya. But in Krishna Seva then you get all these different flavors in there. They can see, you know, parental relationship, conjugal relationship. There's much more avenues of service for Krishna than of Lakshmi and Narayan. They are they're restricted in so many ways by Lakshmi Narayan. Because of the approach, they're restricted for that more intimate service. Just like Prabhupada said that the deity I've introduced is Krishna in his Kishore age. It's this age, Krishna of Shamashunda with the flute and with Radharani. And he said, but the approach of the deity is of Lakshmi Narayan. When the original personality of Godhead comes, all the different incarnations appear with him. So when we're actually approaching the Lord, we're approaching in the mood of reverence, which is the proper etiquette in the temple and the deity in the temple. So this is approaches Lakshmi Narayan. This is how we can approach. Because Prabhupada said that worship of Radha and Krishna is a higher platform. They don't accept this approach, this reverential approach of Lakshmi Narayan. You cannot approach like this. But you can approach Lakshmi Narayan like this. This, we know this. And so Prabhupada said, when we're approaching the deity like this, it's the Lakshmi Narayan within Radha Shamashunda that accept that saviour. They don't accept that reverential saviour. Yeah. At most, this spontaneous loving platform in this, in Goloka with Radha and Krishna. So it's the aspect of Lakshmi Narayan that would accept this mood of seva as the reverential seva. But the idea is that if we don't see Lakshmi Narayan, we see Radha Krishna. We never speak Lakshmi Narayan. We only hear Radha and Krishna. You never hear anyone speaking about Lakshmi Narayan in ISKCON. Philosophically, we're explaining something, but otherwise, you don't hear that. So we see Krishna, we hear Krishna, everything is Krishna, 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 Krishna. But the approach is Lakshmi Narayan, because that is the what we can do, how we can approach the Lord in that, with that attitude of reverential attitude. So that is maintained, that is the Panchrajiki system. You've got the deity in the temple and the temple etiquette and the savage, it's all Panchrajiki rules. So it's performed in this mood of reverential service, it's the Panchrajiki rules. Are for this purpose, the second best. The first best is doing with affection. That's why Mahaprabhu was giving freely here, take savage, you can Krishna Prem freely. If you can do it with affection, that's Fantastic. If you can't do it, you have the second best thing. That is the Vedi Sadhana Bhakti or Panchvashiki rules and regulations. We're obligated to do that because we've forgotten our affection for Krishna. So we're obligated by the second process of Vedi Sadhana Bhakti, Panchvashiki, all these rules and regulations, which are not used in the Goloka. Rupa Goswami has given all these, so many rules, but he doesn't practice them in Goloka. He has natural attraction for serving Radha and Krishna. He doesn't need them. But they see that what we need here in this material world, we've forgotten Krishna, we've forgotten everything. So Mahaprabhu was giving, here it is, take it freely. If you can't do that, okay, second best. So Mahabodhanaya, because he is giving freely, but if you cannot take that, then Mahaprabhu is Yuktavarakya. He's come to teach Yuktavarakya. He's come to give friend if you can take it. If you can't take it, then he's come to teach Yuktavarakya, because you cannot teach friend. You cannot teach someone how to love someone else. That's something natural. But knowledge, renunciation, that you can teach. So first, that's why Mahaprabhu is giving, Mahabhanaya Krishna, he's giving freely if you can take it. If not, then the second, that is Yuktavarakya. He's come to teach. He's giving prem, but teaching Yuktavarakya. If you can take prem, free ball, that's it. If you're not ready, then okay, Yuktavarakya. Okay.
Janivas Prabhu, thank you for coming to Alachuan. You know, we all know that the great service in Sridhar Mayapur to Radha Madhava, you know, for so many years, a lifetime, to Srila Prabhupada's Lord Sri. So I just happened to have this small quotation from Srila Prabhupada. It's about the worship of Sri, and this is a question. Srila Prabhupada says, regarding your question about what we dress deities in a very opulent fashion and not as a simple coward boys and girls, this is an intelligent question, and the answer is that according to the regulative principles, we cannot worship Radha and Krishna now. Radha Krishna worship is meant for persons who are already developed spontaneous love of God, Krishna. In the training period, we are only worshiping Lakshmi Narayana. We worship Radha and Krishna because Lakshmi Narayana is there. Also, but actually we do not worship Radha and Krishna. With our present deity ceremonies, we are worshiping Lakshmi Narayana. Narayana is when Krishna is there, but actually we do not. Okay. The worship of Radha and Krishna in the original form, that is why we should worship Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana future. We all respect and reverence, and if we deviate from this standard, then we should be Prakriti Sahajiyas, or a person who takes things very cheaply. We worship Lakshmi Narayana, and because Radha Krishna includes Lakshmi Narayan, there is no necessity of installing Lakshmi Narayan deity. It's just like a king who is engaged in administering justice. Actually, the business belongs to the Justice Department. But what is the Justice Department if it all parts of the king's energy? And the king also has the power to execute his function. This is a letter, and there's another one. It's actually, Radha Krishna is worshiping the Vrindavan, which is like a simple village. But we worship Lakshmi Narayana, and the worship is accepted by Radha and Krishna deity. Actually, in our present status, we cannot worship Radha and Krishna, but as all the Vishnu Murtis are situated in Krishna. Therefore, our Radha and Krishna worship is transferred to Vishnu, Lord Narayana. Vishnu worship is the regulative devotional principles, and Radha Krishna worship is spontaneous service with eternal feelings. Therefore, Lakshmi Narayana is the deity of great opulence. Similarly, our Radha Krishna Murtis are also should be worshipped with great pomp and dignity. Krishna will give you the proper intelligence to do this very nicely. So far as prayers, you may sing Hare Krishna, Govinda Jaya Jaya, Govinda the Purusha. More quotations for that. This is exact, you just say, different words probably.
Thank you. Do you have a question?
In Brahma Sangita, this verse explained this also further. Aloloka Chandra Kala Sadvana Malla Bangsi Tatnang Gadang Pranaya Keli Kala Vilasam Shemang Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata. Niyata means this deity that we worship, this deity also in the spiritual world. It is not only in Alachua. It manifested. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, in the purport in Brahma Sangita, you can see that there is a two features in Golok Vrindavan. One is Sarasiki Lila predominated, one is Mantra Upasana Mai Lila. So, when Guru gives the mantra, when Prabhupada gave the mantra, that this, each disciple has a particular Ishtadev, is awakened in the heart of the sevak or servant. Then, when he is connected through that mantra, then he sees the deity worship is the same as Golok Vrindavan Krishna, no difference. When then he is engaged in devotional service, and then when he is worshipping, at one point when his love matures, that time he will see Krishna is corresponding, communicating. That time he will enter into Sarasiki Lila, which is like relationship, playful mood. But the deity also is in Golok Vrindavan also. There is a form Krishna, all the form Krishna is there standing eternally. It says Niyata Prakasham. Brahmaji himself saw. So one example Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives, like